outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing, hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Good evening and welcome to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest running outdoor talk radio program. We're pleased that you could be with us tonight. We have a great show lined up. We'll introduce our studio guests in just a minute. But first, we want to remind you that this is a talk radio program week after week after week, and we always encourage you to participate, to weigh in if you have a comment or a question. And the number to call, the magic number, the statewide number is
1-800-966-1039. And even if you're local, you've got to dial the whole number, 1-800-966-1039.
Yes, sir. And you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.5. I can never remember that. 94.1, right, down in Rockland? Or is it 95.4?
It is 95.1.
95.1, okay. Thank you for that.
All FM, right?
All FM, you betcha.
All FM, yep. Mm-hmm.
Our crew tonight, always introduce the crew who are here every week. And these guys are volunteers. They don't make the big money like Bob and I do.
We don't? And,
he's the engineer, the chief engineer, the senior engineer who's been in that chair for many, many years. From Orange, Mr. Jim Layton. Take a bow, Jim.
Well, good evening, folks. Thank you, Paul. Welcome aboard, everybody. Pull up a chair. It's going to be one heck of a great show tonight.
You betcha. We're going to try to do that. And with him, the other two engineers, the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, none other than Norman Plord.
Greetings. How you doing?
Good, good. How you doing?
Actually, I was on the water yesterday.
Were you? Where were you fishing?
I was at Toddy Pond.
Oh, how'd you do?
Not so great. Caught a few bass, but nothing worth bragging about.
The church had a deal down there, didn't they?
That's where I was.
I have a full report on that
right now. Oh, okay. I didn't mean to get on your trap line, Bob.
Okay.
And with him is the Raspberry Baron of Orrington, Mr. Scotty Bates.
Yes, good evening, Paul. And boy, it feels like fall out there. Makes me think of bird hunting rather than
fishing. I love it. I love it. It's coming. It's cooling down. Yes. The trees are turning color. It's the best time of year.
Mm. Yeah, but you don't have to shovel what's coming.
I know.
I don't either.
I run away. I run away.
You and Scott.
I know.
Bob and I'll take
I always
care
feel
of it.
Guilty about that every time I get down there.
Not that guilty.
Yeah. Introduce our guests right now. They are from Ducks Unlimited. They're from the State of Maine chapter. We have the past president, who currently a volunteer for DU, from Brewer, Mr. Tom Duff.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me on.
Nice to have you here. And with him is Craig Knight, who's a committee man for Ducks Unlimited. Craig, nice to have you here.
Hey, good evening, Paul. Thanks for having us.
You betcha. We'll be talking to these gents about some of the great programs that DU is undertaking in just a minute. First, I want to remind you that Outdoor Digest is brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And as I reminded you last week, our sales manager, Vic Morin, is looking for some part-time salespeople. And he will train you and give you a generous commission. If you're interested in part-time sales work, you can give Vic a call during the week at the office, which is 732-4880. Again, looking for salespeople for the Northwood Sporting Journal. If you'd like to be on our team, give Vic a buzz at 732-4880 during the week. Outdoor Achievement Award winners, as I announced it last week, I failed to bring the names with me. I have those now. The two recipients this year of the IF&W Outdoor Achievement Award are Dana Johnson from Wells, Maine, and Roger Milligan from Princeton. And we'll be hooking up with Roger after the 7:30 break and talk a little bit about his accomplishments over the years. So stand by for that. Also want to remind you, bear season is currently underway, and all of the anecdotal reports I'm getting are good. The bears are very active on the baits. And so the word is, Bob, that the bear hunters are having a pretty good week.
Yeah, so I hear.
And there's one other thing. I think tomorrow morning the expanded archery deer season starts for those bow hunters who are hunting the urban areas of Maine.
You haven't been bear hunting, have you?
No, not this year. I did last year.
Oh, I know you did. Did you get a bear last year?
Too busy. No, we didn't.
No.
No, had a good time, but didn't get a bear.
Did you get an any deer permit?
No. I applied for 16 over in Wayne, where my son is.
Yep.
Guess who got one? Diane got one. Josh, my son, got one. His son, Eli, got one. His daughter, Dana, got one. But the old man didn't get one.
No, I'm kidding. I've been online twice to find it, and I can't find it.
You can't find it? Oh, it's there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they have a listing, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think it's time for Bob's favorite music introduction.
Ah.
Uh-oh.
Hit three.
We did.
Well, we may have to sing it. You want us to sing it?
I don't know if I can sing it.
You want us to sing it?
You're going to have to.
Okay, I guess we're going to sing it. How does it go? Norm, take it. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's...
There we go.
Loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays.
All right, kill him in. Stop the tape.
Thank God he made me.
Stop the tape.
Thank you anyway. Okay. But that's not it.
Now you know why you're the highest paid engineer.
Hey, listen, they said hit number three, and that's what I did.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what do I know? Anyway, forget
the
music.
Well, I have a full report on fishing here.
And turn that way down, Jim. Thank you.
A full report, and I'll start with Mr. Reynolds here, who went up to the West Branch of the Penobscot River recently.
Yes.
Yeah. And you went with your son, Scotty.
Yep.
And you caught some fish.
Scotty did.
Yeah.
You know, I can't figure it out. I taught that kid how to fish.
I know.
And he outfishes me 6 or 7 to 1. He's, the 50-year-old kid is just a fantastic angler. He's got a lot of perseverance, tenacity. And he's got eyes like a hawk.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, and he's a perseverant guy.
And you know, I tried to tie on those little number 18s.
Oh, brother.
And I had on my reading glasses and my magnifying glass on my cap, and I still couldn't get that darn tippet through that little eye.
You can buy these special little threaders, you know.
I'm going to have to do something different.
Yeah.
I'm having
I've been that way a long time.
Yeah. What else?
So you want to tie them when you before you go and put a little leader on them.
Yeah, that's probably what I have to do.
Oh, you'll have to do
but
that.
But anyway, for those who are interested, believe it or not, even though the water's a tad warm, the salmon are still there, and you can still catch fish just before dark.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're
amazing.
Full of fish, and they have to eat, and they do eat.
Yeah, that's a wonderful treasure, that West Branch.
Are many people fishing there?
Not that
probably
many.
Probably not.
No.
Right now. There will be, probably.
Yeah.
But
later.
Yeah, and the water was fairly warm, you say, too.
Well, not too bad. Yeah. Really, it's, you know, tail water.
We had a cold one last night.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Boy, that'll help a lot of these places. Yeah. Now all we need is some rain.
You bet.
You know what it was at my house this morning? 33.
Was it that cold?
33 with the frost on my windshield when I get up to take the dog out.
No kidding.
Heavy frost, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We didn't get that down a branch at all.
A lot of people I talked to this morning didn't get a frost like that in. But I want to make—I have a report here.
Okay.
From the Reel on Reel at Toddy Pond.
Yeah.
It was a church organization that sponsored this and runs it, and I guess they're going to make it a yearly event because they had a really good turnout, something like 20-some-odd guys attended, and they had poor fishing, of course, so mostly small bass.
Yep, yep.
And this time of year, you know, but can you imagine crowding 22 or 3 guys in 2 camps?
No.
But they ate well, so I hear.
They always do.
I've been under the weather, so I didn't go. I really would love to, but maybe next year for that one.
Okay.
But the winner got a 18-foot Old Town canoe.
Wow.
And paddles and life jackets to match.
And what did he do to win that?
Well, and he got a fishing vest, and he got an assortment of flies and lures. And he's new to the area, really. It's a young man. I met him this morning. His name is Mike Qualey. And he was fishing plastic worms deep.
Yeah.
And he caught a 14.5-inch bass. And he won. All of that stuff.
Actually, that was,
and everybody was congratulating him this morning, and I did, too. And I thought he did very well.
Yeah, exciting.
That was actually a 14.5-foot canoe. 14.5-foot canoe.
What about it?
The canoe that he won was 14.5 feet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 14.5?
14.5 feet, but he got the life preservers of the paddles. I mean, it was a whole package.
All right.
Thank you, Norm, for correcting me. And how did you do?
Well, I caught a few fish, but as you can see, I didn't win.
Well, I think I was great. An awful nice young man who won that.
All right. Good. Yeah, congratulations,
you know,
to him.
He went out to, like, Walmart or Dick's or someplace to buy a package of worms, and that's all he had to fish with. They borrowed a rod, I understand. And by golly, if he didn't win the whole thing, and everybody was happy for him. They really were. So that's my report, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Good report. Okay, if you joined us late, again, our guests are from the Ducks Unlimited. We have Tom Duff and Craig Knight, both members of DU, and they're going to be talking to us in just a moment. But first, we have an outdoor trivia question, and if you get the right answer, we're going to give you, it's the first of the month, so that means that we can give you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal worth about $30. And Tom Duff has the question, and what's the question, Tom?
Here in Maine, there's one exception to the requirement that all deer hunters wear two pieces of orange, hunter orange. What is the exception?
All right. If you think you know the answer, 1-800-966-1039, and we'll be right back. Okay, we have a caller standing by who may have an answer to our trivia question. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Yeah, good evening. Boy, I thought I had the answer to this, so it's going to be a wild shot. How about if you're hunting bird at the same time?
No, that is incorrect.
All right, I thought I had it, but
you know, it's kind of a surprising question. But it's listed in the law book, and it kind of caught my attention. I just thought it might be interesting to see where it goes. Thanks.
All right, I'll be waiting for the answer.
All right, appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, anybody else lined up, Jim?
We do.
All right, good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. We're looking for an answer to the trivia question.
Hey, Steve again from Concord. It's archery season.
It's archery season.
Archery season. Don't eat orange. Sorry about the reception out here. And a couple weeks ago, you had a question about migratory bird stamps. The other answer was crow.
Yes, that's true. Thank you.
I don't think that's the answer, is it, Tom?
No, that's not the answer.
No, but I'll give you the one on the crow thing, because that's what I was going to call in, but I didn't want to tell my answer 50 off the top of the road to call.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, no other callers queued up?
Yep, we got one.
Another caller queued up. Okay, good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. We're looking for an answer to the trivia question. Go ahead, caller.
I think he's on the line now. Should be.
Okay, we're waiting for the caller. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Paul. I'd like to try to answer your question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think it's the Amish are exempted from wearing orange. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. Listen, the law book, if you're any hunter whose religion prohibits the wearing of hunter orange,
may
wear traditional hunter red.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Now, the law book doesn't say Amish. It just says anybody whose religion prohibits. Do you know for a fact that the Amish religion prohibits the wearing of hunter orange?
I think it does. I'm not sure about that, but they use such traditional tools that I'd be surprised if they had orange on there.
Yeah, I think it's a logical guess. Well, you've won anyway. The important thing is you've won a subscription to the journal, right, Tom?
Yes, that's correct. A one-year subscription to the journal.
And
great. It's a great magazine.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate that. And we didn't pay you to say that, right?
No, not at all.
No.
You did not.
No. Okay, we're going to put you on hold, and Norm will get your mailing address. And what's your name again?
My name is Tim.
Tim. We'll make sure you get a subscription.
Tim Harrod, yep.
Okay, and we appreciate you listening to the show, Tim.
Thank you very much for calling in, Tim.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. Stay on the line. Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's interesting. He thinks it's probably the Amish. He's probably right.
I never knew that, Paul. I there's a lot of people out there surprised at this because I never realized it.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get down to business.
We have another caller. He's got a comment on it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Good evening, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Good evening. Yeah, no, I think there's another answer to that question. You don't have to wear fluorescent orange if you're hunting over decoys. Is that correct as well?
Well, we're talking about deer hunters.
Deer hunters, okay.
During November, during the November deer season, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, yeah. Okay, down to business again. If you just joined us, our guests are Tom Duff and Craig Knight, both from Ducks Unlimited. And let's start out, if you don't mind, Tom, telling us a little bit about the role of DU for those who may not be as familiar with it as we are.
All right. Ducks Unlimited is a grassroots volunteer organization that has a goal of preserving wetland, enhancing wetlands. The mission for it is to conserve, restore, and manage wetlands and associated habitats in North America and for its waterfowl. These habitats also benefit other wildlife and people. One of the things that we look at is clean water is important to all of us, especially here in the state of Maine, and wetlands are a great sponge to take care of that and allow us for quality water. Here in the state of Maine, as a volunteer group, we have a pretty good volunteer program. We have 17 events in the state of Maine. Currently, our volunteers are a number 166. Current membership for Ducks Unlimited in the state of Maine is 2,008 members.
And you have a number of different chapters within the state?
That's correct. We have 14 chapters.
Do you? Yeah.
Yep.
And some in the Bangor area, right?
One in Bangor, one in Ellsworth. We have one in Millinocket. We have Augusta, Skowhegan, down in Scarborough. We have a number of different chapters in the area. In fact, we have some dinners coming up right away. This upcoming weekend, we have one in Kennebec Valley and one in Merrymeeting Bay. And then the following weekend, we have one in the Midcoast Rockland area. Next Thursday is our dinner chapter here for the Bangor chapter. It's called the Down East chapter, which sounds a little off the coast, but back when our chapter started in 1971, we were the second chapter in the state of Maine, and that was the name that was chosen for it at that time.
Now, you mentioned that the DU has been around for a long time, since 1937.
Correct.
What accomplishments has DU been involved with over the years? You must have some statistics on the wetlands that they've been involved in protecting. What are the statistics with regard to that?
Yeah, if we look at nationally, the United States, we've been able to work with 5.75 million acres. The nice thing about Ducks Unlimited, it covers all of North America. So in Canada, we've been able to work with 6.4 million, and in Mexico, 1.96 million acres, acres of land, yep. Correct.
Yep. When I was a young man, younger than I am now, we used to do a lot of duck hunting. I used to be a duck hunter. I'm not now. I haven't been. Are you a duck hunter?
I am.
Yeah. And Merrymeeting Bay, back in those days, was a pretty decent place to go to hunt ducks. A lot of pressure there. Can you still hunt ducks in Merrymeeting Bay?
You can. Yep. Yeah. There is a marker on the river coming in that you can't hunt above that, but everything below that in Merrymeeting Bay is available.
Is it? Yeah. Yep. Did you ever do any duck hunting, Bob?
I certainly did. I did a lot of canoe duck hunting, jump shooting.
Yeah.
I love that doing that. Oh yeah. Yeah. I love being on the waterways too in that time of year. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's a nice time of year. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you ever a member of DU?
I was for many years.
You were for many years. Yeah.
Yep. I belonged to about everywhere. Trout Unlimited, Ducks Unlimited, all the salmon clubs, all the writing organizations.
Yeah.
One day the wife says, Bob.
Yeah. She's looking at the checkbook, right?
My wife says the same thing. Yeah. Says if she had fin, feather, or fur, I'd pay a lot more attention. But
How long have you been a member of DU?
This is my 28th year.
Have you really?
As a volunteer.
I've been at a long time, yeah. Well, good for you. How about you, Craig? You've been a member for quite a while?
I think this is my fourth year.
Fourth year, okay. You're a duck hunter?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it going to be, what's the outlook for duck hunters this year? What are the biologists saying? Is it going to be all right?
Yeah, they are saying that there's going to be a pretty good population. Seems like there's a lot of acorns around, so that's bodes well for the wood duck population.
Does
along
yep.
with mallards and blacks.
Yeah.
We have a very large population of resident geese that are currently, the season's open on resident geese right now, and then we'll have again October 1st, we'll start the regular migratory yeah. goose and duck season.
Yeah. Do you goose hunt?
I do.
Do you? How do you cook those suckers to make them edible?
Well, there's a couple of things that can be done with those. A lot of times if you cook a goose breast on top of a bed of moist stuffing. It allows that to stay nice and tender and juicy while you cook it.
Yep.
Cook it in a brown and serve bag helps a lot sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then also if you are going to cook a whole goose, a plucked goose, an apple in the breast along with an onion, one to absorb some of the oil, and the onion will, and the apple will put moisture back into your bird as it cooks. So
one way we used to deal with it, which was pretty successful, was to smoke a goose breast rare, slice it thin, and it was just like roast beef. It was really delicious.
You know the old wives' tale about cooking a duck.
Oh yeah,
you've heard it, haven't you?
You boil it with a rock. Well, let's throw away the duck and eat the rock or something.
That's another way. This way, you baste it with wine.
Yeah.
You throw it away and drink the gravy.
The gravy. There you go. Yeah. Well, I like cooked right. A black duck is delicious. I love black duck. Yeah. Just sautéed, you know.
Wood duck.
My favorite would be wood duck.
Yeah. Wood duck is your favorite?
Yeah, that with teal right behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wood duck and teal. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, it's a great thing you guys are doing. And it's been many years since I've ever been to a DU banquet, but I remember it used to be a great opportunity to enjoy everybody's company, eat some good chow, and to participate in auctions. Does that still go on?
Yes, it does. And like I had mentioned, we have a few dinner auctions coming up. At those auctions, we have local art is some of the items we have. We have stuff that comes from National that you would see in the magazine if you're a DU member. That's our biggest fundraiser for the state of Maine and for Ducks Unlimited as a whole. Since DU started here in the state of Maine in 1971, we've raised $611,000.
Wow.
And with that money we've raised, we've seen recoup back and spent into the state of Maine $1.8 million.
All right. We'll be back with more. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and our studio guests, if you just joined us, are from the Ducks Unlimited organization, Tom Duff and Craig Knight, who have been talking about all the great things that DU has been doing since 1937. We'll be talking to Roger Milligan in just a minute, but first we have a caller standing by who wants to talk to Mr. Lehman, and I think his name is Jared. Good evening, Jared. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm great.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to thank Mr. Lehman for sending me that fly. It's really nice.
Well, I thank you so much for calling, Jared. I appreciate that. You don't know how that goes right to my heart, something like that. It really does. That's wonderful. Now, I want you to know that that is one of my favorite trout flies. It has been for years, and I hope you try your luck with trout with it, okay?
Okay, yep, I will when I get a chance.
Thanks for calling.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay, have a good night, Jared. Take care, yeah. Bye-bye. Well, that was a nice
it
was, to call
sure
him.
Was.
Thank you, thank
That's
you for
wonderful.
That. Yeah.
And we should have Roger.
Yeah. Yeah, who said young people don't have manners anymore,
you
right?
You bet. That's great. You know that? That's fantastic. Yeah.
All right, do we have Mr. Milligan standing by?
We should have you there, Roger.
Yes.
Hey, good evening, Roger. How are you tonight?
I'm fine.
Hey, congratulations to you for being one of two gents to win the IFNW's Outdoor Achievement Award. That's a very nice honor.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciated that.
Yeah, and they awarded it to you last night at the SAM banquet down in Augusta?
Yes, in Waterville.
Oh, down in Waterville, yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What made you eligible for this award? I know it's tough to have somebody want to brag about themselves, but what the heck? Tell us why were you eligible for this award?
Well, a short story. I grew up in the Grand Lakes Stream area. I was I was born here. I worked a career with the Maine Forest Service as a ranger for 32 years. I've done a lot of guiding, working with people, but for the last decade or so, I've got most of my enjoyment out of working with young people.
Oh, good for you.
And trying to get it off on the right track and trapping and hunting.
That's wonderful. So, somebody like you is doing that. That's great. If you work the Forest Service, you must have known Scotty Bates, huh?
I sure did.
Yeah. Did he fly you around that old helicopter?
I rode with him, sitting in a bog in a helicopter with a fire coming at us.
Have you really? Well, it sounds like maybe we get you two guys on sometime.
He saved me. We come out of it safe because of him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he flew a pretty good helicopter, did he?
He flew everything pretty good.
Yeah.
he flew the Beaver water bombers, the helicopters that we got the military Hueys and started dropping water, and he was one of the early pilots that worked with him.
Was he really? Wow, we didn't realize that. He never talks about that stuff.
He never talked about himself back then. You had to question him.
Yeah, you have to kind of pull it out of him, yeah. Well, Roger, again, that's great news that you've been picked for that award. We congratulate you and commend you for all the good work you do, particularly with young people, and I think the whole future of our hunting and fishing heritage depends really on whether young people embrace it or not, and folks like you are really contributing, and we appreciate all you've done.
Okay, I appreciate the young people and get my enjoyment out of working with them.
Well, good for you, sir. And have a good fall.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. Yeah, bye-bye. Well, that's nice, huh?
Oh, great. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice man, that fellow.
Good for him to do that.
And he's from Grand Lake Stream, you say?
Well, he's from Princeton.
Princeton, not far.
A lot of time on the stream. Yeah. And he obviously has a lot of respect for Scotty Bates' ability.
Apparently,
in that helichopter there.
We got to talk to Scotty here.
I have a lot of respect for Roger. He helped me a lot when I first got started.
Did he really? Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did.
Oh, that's
great. Nice guy.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys had some good, exciting times together. We'll have to get you on, Scotty. Talk about that. You know, you keep all that stuff secret. I got to know more. I'm going to write a book about you.
Uh-oh. We could write some things.
I bet you could, yeah. All right, back to our guests. Again, Tom Duff and Craig Knight, and we're talking about the things that DU have been doing. So we don't forget to do it if we get up against the clock, I think it's interesting that, because we're in the Bangor area here, but the Ducks Unlimited is having a big 47th annual, it's a 47th annual fundraising banquet and auction, and that will be at the conference center out there in the Hogan Road, right?
That's correct, right at the Bangor Conference Center.
Yeah. Yep. And these are always a wonderful occasion. They'll have a silent auction and a live auction. And what are some of the things that will be available there at the auction, Tom?
Yep, we have a number of really nice items this year, donated a lot by our local businesses. We'll have a spray-in bed liner that was donated by TBA. We've had some pearls from the jewelry store.
That's quite a variety.
We got some guns. We got a number of really nice items. Plus, we'll have a silent auction, like you said, along with a number of raffles and games.
Yeah. Somebody is always a cynic out there who asks the question, where does the money really go? Does it really go toward wetlands? I mean, how does anybody know there, when they participate in these things, how do they know that DU is going to do good things with the money? How's that work?
Yeah, well, that's one thing that we're very proud of, and one of the reasons I stay as a volunteer with Ducks Unlimited. If we look at right now, 83% of every dollar raised actually goes to the wetland and waterfowl conservation and education, with only 3% going to administration and human resources, and then we have about 14% that ends up with fundraising and development. So that works very well for us. Here in the state of Maine, like I said earlier, we've raised $611,000 since 1970, and we've received back from Ducks Unlimited $1.8 million, and that's gone into 8 projects that we currently have.
I was going to ask you, what project in Maine are you most proud of?
I would say the Merrimeeting Bay project. That was a 5-stage project, and it did a lot for that area of allowing to rebuild wetlands that had been drained. Another area here locally in Penobscot County was our participation in the Sun Caves project effort that was done a number of years ago, but that worked very well on Blackman Stream that runs out through Sun Caves.
Okay, and what did they do out there? What was the project involved?
The project out there was two different things. One was to reposition a water control structure. One of the things was to reposition a water control structure, as well as the replanting of some of the forested lands that around it that had been removed.
Okay, that's your old stomping ground out there, right?
Sunkay Stream. They have a preserve up there and have for years. Beautiful place to fish for brook trout. In fact, it's in one of my books, my fly fishing main book.
Okay, how about Blackman Stream? Is that
that's right in the area there,
right? Area, right?
Yeah, yep. That's a good stream as well for trout and ducks, I guess.
Yeah,
we've seen a lot of ducks on Sunkay's fishing for trout.
Yeah, and that was something that still is a tidal area with influenced by the Penobscot River.
It is now, I guess.
Yep.
This banquet, by the way, if you're interested in, I guess you can get tickets ahead of time, right?
That's correct. You can buy them online at ducks.org and click on the State of Maine, or you can contact Joy Royal or David Paul or myself, and that can be done through the State of Maine Facebook page.
Okay, and it's okay to call your number here?
That's correct.
Okay, if you're looking for an advance ticket for this banquet, you can call Tom at 989-6082. 989-6082. And the date for that, again, is the 20th, right, Tom?
Yes, Thursday evening.
Thursday evening. It starts at 5:30 at the Bangor Banquet and Conference Center. All kinds of exciting things going to be auctioned off there on that date. We have, if you have a question or comment for either Craig or Tom, you can call us at 1-800-966-1039. Right now, we have to take a short profit break. Bob insists on doing this every week.
Yeah.
And the company that owns this radio station appreciates this as well. Right, Scotty?
Yes.
Right,
we,
they do.
We appreciate the people that we're going to talk about here, too.
You bet.
And that, of course, is the General Appliance in Brewer. And that's the place to go for your camp appliance needs, whether they are gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, or top of the line. Are you ready out there?
We are.
Compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
You know it. That's right. Okay. Well, they also have electric appliances, you know, Paul.
Yes, they do.
And the one thing about the compost toilets, which they have a full line of, have you ever used one?
I have never. I can tell you, I have never in my life experienced a compost toilet.
I have once.
I'll be honest
with
you.
I have once.
You have.
But they're fantastic. They're great for these sporting camps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to go out in the mosquitoes and all that stuff. And the big thing about them is that there's no running water to be used with them.
Right.
No odor.
No plumbing. No septic to be pumped out. No leach field.
Are you guys sure there's no odor?
Well,
I have a hard time believing
that. It depends on what you had for dinner.
we digress.
We really get excuse me.
We are digressing here.
There's no environment problems either.
Okay.
And as I said, no mosquitoes. That's a big thing.
And
advanced technology.
Right. And
that's big.
If you want to find out more about these compost toilets, you can talk to Al Elkin.
You certainly can. And they have a great man on repairs.
They do.
The magic man, we call him.
Yeah, all he has to do is look at it. If you've got a broken washing machine.
He puts one foot in the door and turn right around and
leave. He doesn't even have to touch it. He just looks at it.
Amazing. Yeah. And another big thing over there is you can buy both your books and my books over there.
Yes, sir.
They have a full line and a big display right there by the counter.
Yeah. And the great folks to do business with.
They certainly are.
And they have a telephone number if you want to call them. The number is 687-3914.
Very good.
And Al Elkin's the guy to talk with. I notice Al's not wearing his engineer's cap anymore. He's switched
well,
to
he's got help over there now. He's probably too busy.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he collects radios. You know that old radio?
Yes, I knew that, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody likes to collect things. Everybody's got a thing about collecting.
How about you? Do you collect
I can't
guns?
Tell, can't tell what I collect.
Guns. Oh, you can't tell?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
I can't tell you because my wife listens to this show.
Oh, okay.
All right. But it's nothing bad. It's good. I just can't tell you. Okay. We're back with our guests again. 1-800-966-1039 if you have a question for either Tom Duff or Craig Knight. We haven't got much out of you tonight, Craig. You've been pretty quiet. Craig, you're a duck hunter, right?
Yeah.
Get right up to that mic.
I've been an avid duck hunter my whole life. Right. When I was a kid, I used to skip school to go duck hunting.
Did you really?
Yeah, honestly, in high school.
Naughty. Did you get in trouble over that?
No, I never got caught.
No, I never got caught. Well, that's good. I used to skip a few things myself to go hunting, I can tell you that. What's your favorite type of, are you a jump shooter or do you have a dog? How do you hunt?
I've had three labs. After the last one, I made the decision that I probably wasn't going to get another one.
It's tough to lose them, isn't it?
The third one was the worst. So I just don't know if I could go down that road again.
You'll have another dog.
People keep telling me that.
You will.
He says he's going to borrow mine.
Right,
so.
Right.
What are you guys' favorite guns to use duck hunting?
I'm a pump man myself. I use a Remington 870.
Yeah.
I originally started out using an Ithaca Model 37, but they don't make that, so it'll shoot
gauge.
A 3-inch. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
And Greg?
Yeah, that's the same gun I use, Remington 870, 12-gauge. Yeah.
And Paul?
I used to have a Remington 1100 semi-auto. And I want to tell you a little story while we're talking duck hunting. It just came back to me. One of the reasons I lost my dog, that's one reason, like you, Craig.
Yeah.
That I didn't duck hunt. But another reason was back. It happened when they remember they outlawed lead shot, and in the very beginning, I know they've advanced technology with that, but they had the substitutes for lead shot, and I couldn't kill ducks with that stuff, and I was tired of wounding them, so I just sort of quit. But I guess now they've really advanced the technology with the substitutes for lead shot, right?
That
not
is
a problem
correct.
Anymore.
Yeah, not as much of a problem. One of the biggest things we saw back in the first changeover to that is we were used to being able to shoot ducks out to 60, 65 yards with lead shot.
Yeah.
And the steel shot wouldn't carry that far. So if you weren't adjusting your distance, you definitely did cripple more ducks in the start of the changeover.
Yeah. So there's no lead shot used at all anymore, right, for duck hunting?
Not for duck hunting, correct.
Not for duck hunting.
Yeah.
What type of shot now is available that's reasonably effective?
They have tungsten, and they have heavy shot, a number of different alloys that they mix together to do that. They've even changed the shape of some of the shot out there. They have some that are square now.
You're kidding.
No.
Is that right?
And they've changed the cup that holds the shot, allows for a lot better patterning out through your shotgun.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. Yeah. Pretty expensive, too, wasn't it, the ammo?
It was for a while. It's become more reasonable now.
Oh, is it more reasonable? I remember when they first changed. Man, it was like twice as much a box for 12-gauge. We have a caller standing by. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with the guys from Ducks Unlimited, Tom Duff and Craig Knight. Go ahead.
I had a question on the Maine carry law. It's George from Parkman. And does the Maine carry law supersede the deer law that says you can't carry a pistol when you're deer hunting or with a rifle?
Well, you know, it's funny you should bring that up, because when I was researching this wonderful trivia question that I came up with, I was looking at that, and it almost seems like there was a little, maybe it's me, but I read the, trying to figure out if you're hunting, can you, and you don't need a concealed permit to carry a handgun in Maine now, as I understand it. A loaded handgun. I was wondering, now, what if you're hunting and you're wearing a sidearm in a vehicle that's loaded? Can you do that legally? So I began to ask myself the question, and I looked in the law book, and there's two different sections on that, and it seems to be a little contradictory to me. So I'm really not sure. Do any of you folks know?
I don't.
The answer to that? So I'm not sure to answer you. Are you confused by the law as I was?
Well, I am. I have a concealed carry permit from Maine, and, you know, I was just concerned about my friends. I didn't know whether they were going to get whacked thinking that they could carry a weapon on the side. I think you may have to call the colonel and ask him what he's got to say.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could get an answer for that next week. But correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't need to have a concealed carry permit anymore in Maine. I used to have one, but you don't need one now, right?
Yeah, but the issue is, do you need it during deer season?
Do you need it during deer season? I don't think you can even get a concealed carry permit in Maine anymore. They're just not available, are they?
Yep.
Yes.
You can.
I think you can.
Oh, but
I got one of the last ones. I got one a week before he signed the papers.
Yeah.
Now, what about if you're not hunting and don't have a hunting license, but you're carrying a concealed weapon with a concealed weapon permit from another state?
I have three of them, and you know I can't do it here, but you know they're talking about making them. You know, Vermont, you don't need one. New Hampshire, you don't need one. Maine, you don't need one. But my question was, do you need one during deer season?
Yeah,
right.
Well, if you read the law book, I don't think it is. I don't think it's perfectly clear what the answer to that question is. But I tell you what, I'm a curious guy, and I'm going to get some answers for you. I'll try to have them by next week. Maybe we can get somebody on. I know Warden Jeff Fahey is pretty knowledgeable about the laws. Maybe we can get Jeff to either come
Jim.
In. Jim Fahey to come in and or at least talk to us on the phone and straighten us out. But those are good questions, and I think they deserve an answer.
What the colonel's marching orders were for the steer season.
Okay. We'll try to get some answers for you, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Good questions all. Yeah. A lot of laws in those books. You have to try to figure them all out. Yeah.
Trappers carry a sealed weapon, you know. I did for a long while.
Sure you did.
When I trapped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on coyotes and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you don't know what the answer to that.
I don't.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, we'll find out. We'll get the experts rounded up and try to get some authoritative answers by next week. Any other thoughts you gents have here on Ducks Unlimited?
Well, one of the things that young gentleman called in and said thank you, and that's one of the things that we run up against, too, in continuing the story of Ducks Unlimited, and that's our youth. And Ducks Unlimited does have a Green Wing program, and that's for younger youth, and they have the opportunity to get their own subscription. They get their own magazine, and we actually have quite a few show up to our events now.
Oh, that's right.
It used to be a Drake-only event, but now there are families that come and bring their youth with them, their kids with them, so that's very interesting. And it also leads to, you know, what we see with the Maine waterfowl season, and that is allowing the youth days that we see, and that's one of the things we strive to do is to get youth out on waterfowl, that special waterfowl day the week before.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are certain types of the blood sports that I think are a great way to break in a young person. Turkey hunting, I think, is one of them. My son got his daughter turkey hunting. She loved it. And I think duck hunting is the same way. You got a dog involved, and it's an exciting opportunity, I think, for young people to learn it. That's great. And the program is called Green Wing?
Yep, the Green Wing program.
Yeah.
Correct.
If somebody's listening right now and they have a young person who might be interested in learning to duck hunt, how would they become a member of that? What do they do?
Yeah, they could reach out to me, or they could just go to ducks.org. That's our national website, and there's an opportunity right there. It says, do you want to join? Click on that, and it gives you the option to sign up right there in the Green Wing.
And if they do sign up, if they do sign up, how is there a mentoring program where a young person, let's say a young person, say he's from a single family, and mother's not interested in duck hunting, but they got a young boy who would like to learn, nobody to mentor him. Is there some facility with DU to do that?
There is not, but what we have found is we've been asked that at a Ducks Unlimited event or our booth at the conservation show or like at the gun show today, we had somebody ask that question, is there an opportunity to have their child go with somebody, and we collect the information and we try our best to find somebody to take that young fellow out.
Try to hook him up with somebody that will help him. Yeah.
Yep.
That's great. We have a caller standing by. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Tom Duff and Craig Knight. Go ahead. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if you want to call back, give us a call. 1-800-966-1039. And so what type of dog do you use for duck hunting?
I have a black lab. I have a nice little female named Joy. She's be 9 this December, so she's well on her way to being, towards the end of her career. But she's a wonderful little dog. In the past, I've had everything. I've hunted with an English setter for waterfowl to a Brittany.
Have you? An English setter? I had an English setter for upland hunting. But you hunted English setter?
Yeah, ducks. he would have rather duck hunted than he.
You're kidding.
Than he would have.
Is that right?
I'll be pointing partridge. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Craig? What kind of dogs do you like?
No, I've had three black labs.
Black labs, yeah. I had one named Bernice. She was a sweetheart.
You can't beat the personality.
No, they were just, what a wonderful temperament they have. Yeah, great. And there's nothing more fun to see them swim out in that ice-swollen river and pick up one of those ducks. Nothing like it. What a thrill.
Challenges to get them out of the water.
Right, yeah, right. Okay, and what? Anything else you want to share with us?
Just I'd like to throw a thank you out to all the volunteers that have helped Ducks Unlimited over the years, and our regional director, Bill Brown. He's a great asset to Ducks Unlimited. He covers Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, so he's got a pretty big area to cover. He's the only paid Ducks Unlimited member we have in the state of Maine.
Oh, is he really? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And But Joy Royal is the chairman of our chapter this year. Dave Paul, he's our state chairman. And then our biologist that Ducks Unlimited uses, she covers a whole area all the way out to the Great Lakes, and that's Sarah Fleming. She's a wonderful asset to us with Ducks Unlimited. So those people and all the volunteers and the people that show up for our events, it's just a great, great organization.
Okay. We have it looks like the phones are ringing. We may have time for one more question. But I want to remind you again, the big banquet in the Bangor area takes place on the 20th of September. If you'd like to get an advance ticket, you can call Tom Duff at 989-6082. Or if you're shy, you can always do it online at www.ducks.org. And you can order those tickets online. Big event. They have all kinds of live and silent auctions taking place. And it, again, as we have, I think, emphasized here tonight, this is a great cause. And the wetland protections in the state of Maine, the DU has done a lot of wonderful things over the years. And we commend you folks for that. And keep up the great work.
Thank you, Paul.
Nice to have you here. We have a caller, I think, standing by, don't we, Scotty? Can we get time to squeeze in one more call?
We've got about a minute left, I think.
Yeah. Well, I thought he had somebody on there.
He's talking to somebody out there.
Okay. Oh, shaking in the negative. Okay. Yeah. All right. Next week on our show, I'm supposed to have those names down, but I don't. But I can tell you, Bob, I can give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
They're from a land conservation group down in down East Maine.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, Sean?
Might be, yeah.
Yeah, Sean something.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they'll be a good guest, and we'll hope you'll be with us next week, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.